I'm Joe. I'm alcoholic. It's pretty cool. Last week, I told you guys that were here a story that, you know, about going over to motor vehicles and taking my son to get the written test and all of that and the moral behind it. But I went over to see him today, and he wanted to practice driving. So the car was in the driveway. I said, all right, you know, cars are coming. I'll back you out. So he put it in drive instead of reverse and crashed into the steps. And I, a little bit, not too bad. Everybody was fine. But I got to laugh at that, you know. I don't live in a material world so much today, so I drive a car that's about $2,000. So if I get a newcomer in there and he throws up or burns the seats or my son crashes it, it doesn't really matter, you know. So it was pretty cool though. So last week I was sharing with you a lot of my experiences with alcohol and without. And I had told you, shared with you, up to the point where I had kind of hit bottom. And like before we go forward, the theme of my talk is planting the seed. So we talked a bit about that last week, like what does that mean? And then some people raised their hands and some people said it's about sharing a message of hope, and others shared it's about talking about the problem as it's outlined in the book, and we agreed that we were all correct. So we could have gone anywhere with it. But we chose to, you know, like where I wanted to go is exactly what the problem is. Like for a long time in AA, I did not know what the problem was. And as a result of that and a lack of willingness on my part, I couldn't recover. You know, I got introduced as a recovered alcoholic. We were talking a little bit about that after the meeting last week. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean like I walk on water now? You know what I mean? I have no more character defects and I am perfect. No, that's not what it means. I didn't recover from the human condition, right? We're talking about being recovered from alcoholism, which is, and that's it's solely the mental obsession. And because I've been relieved of that and that problem has been removed, I no longer suffer from the physical allergy because I don't pick up a drink. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. And people in this room know for damn sure I ain't. You know, it's so let's talk. One thing I want to talk about before we go forward is, like, we hear that a lot. Like, you come into AA, you got to hit bottom. Well, what does that look like? Because there's a great many misconceptions of what that is in AA. Like, I've heard some people share, oh, hitting bottom means you got to be homeless. Mm-hmm. Well, what if I was born into a ton of dough? I'll never hit bottom? So being homeless has nothing to do with it. It can help you get there, but it has nothing to do with it. How about having no money, you know? How about losing a relationship with your wife or your husband? Really, it has nothing to do with it. What the book's talking about, and my experience, is it's, you know, when I walked into that bathroom that I talked about last week, what it was like, it was complete hopelessness. Like, self-reliance had completely failed me. I had tried every which way to manage and control my drinking, and I simply couldn't. Like, I had tried drugs, I had tried booze, I tried gambling, I tried women, I tried money, making it, saving it, spending it, right? I tried everything and I kept failing. I kept getting drunk again, you know, after a period of time. And that eventually brought me into a place where I knew I was beat. Like the book talks about, alcohol was my master. I was completely strung out, like I was done, you know. And when I got to that place, it became real easy for me to get well, because for the first time in my life I was actually teachable. You know, I had admitted to the core of myself that I don't know how to do this thing. Like, I would rather die than get sober again at that time, you know. So I thought sober was something else than what it is. I thought it was just, you know, not drinking one crappy day at a time, holding on to my seat, you know, white knuckling life. So I want to talk about that a little bit. So if anybody, you guys have books?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So if you don't, they're up there, so you can go grab one. And what I want to take a look at is page 101. Let's first go to page 44, because I want to just let's touch on that briefly. There's a simple question on page 44, and it's in the first paragraph. And what it talks about in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Like we're talking about alcohol here. So it says, we hope we have made clear up to this point, up to we agnostics, we hope in those preceding chapters we have made clear of the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. Here it is. If, when you honestly want to, you find that you cannot quit entirely, or when drinking, you find you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Okay. So those are the two questions, right? It's either you got it or you don't. If that's your problem, great. If it's not, that's okay too. What I want to look at is in Two Wives, in page 101. I'm going to jump around a bit. I hope the leaders don't mind. As a result of working, you know, sitting down and going through the steps with a... What's that?
104.
Oh, okay, 104.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you weren't listening. See, I told you I'm not perfect, right? So, right. So, 104. Okay, so... I forgot what I was going to say now. But anyway... When I first came into AA, I was 24 years old, right? The circumstances, I explained them to you last week. For those of you that weren't here, in a roundabout way, I was beginning to lose some friends, right? My business was suffering somewhat. Like, I had gotten fired from a job, started a new one, was currently employed, but I was in there for a week, and they were thinking about getting rid of me because I showed up drunk a couple times. My home life, I was married, we just had a kid, and she was threatening to leave me and go off to Colombia with my son and telling me I was never going to see him again. Like, had one DUI, like this is what was going on at the time when I first came into AA when I was 24 years old. This book, as a result of sitting down with a bunch of guys, things have begun to... What is that? Things have begun to... come out of this book for me. And what I found in these chapters, these working with others chapters, the chapters after working with others, it doesn't have to necessarily be to wives. Like, I've used this book for sponsorship, right? Like, I'm not a wife, but I'm a sponsor. So I can take out the word husband and I can put in prospect. And what I found is, in this chapter, they have the four stages of alcoholism. Right, stage one, stage two, stage, right? The progression levels. And what it talks about is exactly who they are. And then after it gets done describing them, it tells us exactly how to go about working with each stage. Right? It gives us clear-cut directions, the way I see it. Right? So let's take a look at it. I want to read it to you a little bit. And this is all about planting a seed, right? I cannot have a blanket statement in Alcoholics Anonymous and just come off at the mouth with everyone I see the exact same way. Some people are going to hear it, some people ain't. I got to get a better idea of who I'm talking to, right? If I'm talking to a guy who's a husband number one and I'm telling him, you have to do this thing or you're going to die. No, he's not. No, he's not. And he's going to see my attitude as standoffish, and he's going to run for the door, and when he really does need help, he ain't coming back here, because I represent AA when I'm in AA, right? That's how they see it. It's not how it is, right? I share my experience as it relates to this book. I never try to share my opinion. Sometimes I do, right? So I don't represent AA, but to a newcomer and to his perspective, that's what he sees. So that's all that really matters, right? So anyway, so let's look at this. So we're going to take out husband, and we're going to put in new guy, or whatever you want to put, new girl, right? Even better for some of you. Okay, so you may have a newcomer who's only a heavy drinker. His drinking may be constant or it may be heavy only on certain... Oh, I'm sorry, page 108.
108, thank you.
My bad. I was just testing you guys to see if you thought you knew. Real big book dumpers would know exactly where I was. Okay, so you may have a husband. You got me on the bottom of page 108?
Yeah.
One? Okay, one. You may have a husband who may be only a heavy drinker, right? Not the hard drinker that they're talking about on page 20. They're talking about a heavy drinker, right? His drinking may be constant, or it may be heavy only on certain occasions. Perhaps he spends too much money for liquor. It may be slowing him up mentally and physically, but he don't see why, right? Like, that's a part of his character right now. Like, he sees it screwing him up, but he don't get why, right? Sometimes he's a source of embarrassment to you and your friends, right? Or to his family and his friends. He may be positive he can handle his liquor, that it does him no harm, that drinking is necessary in his business, right? He would be insulted if he were called an alcoholic. This world is full of people like him. Some will moderate and stop altogether, the non-alcoholic ones. And get a look at this. This is a third-party perspective, right? This is what we're looking at here. We're not describing anyone alcoholic. We're not telling them they're not. This is a third-party perspective looking at it. It's like kind of like a potential alcoholic. Same thing. It's third-party perspective. Because I don't think there is such a thing, you know. It's either you're alcoholic or you ain't, you know. It doesn't magically happen. Of those who keep on, a good number will become true alcoholics after a while. So that's the first description. Like, that's like stage one alcoholism, kind of like, you know. Second level, right? Your husband may be showing a lack of control, right? He may be unable to stay on the water wagon even when he wants to. Right, so there we go. Like, that's a big hook right there, right? For a while, when I was probably my first year sober, I'm running around telling people, you haven't hit bottom, why don't you just go drink some more, right? Go out and drink the way you want to. How can you hit bottom? How can you have no self-reliance if you're doing what you want, right? Alcoholic drinking is about drinking beyond your will. It's not making a decision to go out and get drunk. That's what normal people do. Right? They make a decision to go out and have two, they go out and have two. They make a decision to go out and get drunk with their girlfriends one night, they go out and get drunk. They have the power to do that. Alcoholics sometimes have the power to do that. The other problem is sometimes we don't. Sometimes we make a decision to go out and have two and we end up having 20. That's the problem. Right? Can't force that on anybody. The book talks about that too. It says if he's not sure that he's alcoholic, go out and try some control drink. And don't go out and try and get drunk. We know you can do that. Right? Try to control it. My experience was the worst. That was the worst. That was worse than not drinking at all. My girlfriend, she was trying to detox me. And this was in Oregon, right before the end, you know. And she heard online that with the amount I was drinking, which was 3 liters a day of vodka, with that amount, if I stopped cold turkey, I could die, right? So she's good Al-Anon. And she said, so she went out and she bought this bottle of $6 vomit vodka. It was horrible. But she bought this little glass, too. And every 3 hours, she would fill up this glass. And I wanted to die. Like, I went searching for the bottle. I'd find it sometimes. Sometimes I wouldn't. That was horrible. That was like the most horrific experience I've ever experienced. It was bad. So anyway, let's get back to this, right? So your husband may be showing a lack of control. He's unable to stay on the wagon for good. He often gets entirely out of hand. He admits it's true, but is positive he'll do better, right? He has begun to try, with or without cooperation, various means of moderating or staying dry, right? So he's already dipping his toes in the water. He's already trying to test his will, right? Maybe he is beginning to lose his friends. Like, this is where I was at, right? I remember, you know, before I came into AA when I was 24, I think I was like 21 or 22, and I was having a lot of trouble, and I said, that's it, I'm done drinking. And I quit for 13 days. I was drinking a case of Old Duels every day. It's like, you know, I figured I'd go like this, right? And at the end of the 13 days, like, I never did crack, but, you know, I noticed AA, but I come to in a hotel room in Atlantic City smoking crack. Like it was bad. It was bad. Never did that again. Right? It was the old duels that did it. It was me, right? So maybe he's beginning to lose friends, right? His business suffers somewhat, right? He is worried at times and is becoming aware that he can't drink like other people. He sometimes drinks in the morning. Like, I remember when I found that morning drink, I was looking for it for years and I didn't know what I was looking for. Every morning I'd go into work. I worked in Queens, lived in Jersey. I'd get to work. We'd go to this breakfast spot and they had this big refrigerator with all sorts of drinks in it, right? They had grape juice and Quick, right? Strawberry Quick and Snapple and Dr. Pepper. And every day I would try a different thing because I didn't know what it was. I was craving booze. And then when I finally found it, I'm like, oh, right? I had arrived. It was great. He sometimes drinks in the morning to hold his and through the day to hold his nervousness in check, but not all the time, right? He's not addicted to alcohol by any means. He is remorseful after serious drinking bouts and tells you he wants to stop, right? So that's a guy that, you know, he comes into AA when it's bad and then gets a little bit of good and he's like, see you later, right? Steps, you're crazy, right? Okay, it's going to tell us how to deal with this guy after. Where are we? Okay, so we think this person is in danger. These are the earmarks of a real alcoholic. Perhaps he can still tend to business fairly well. He's by no means ruined everything. As we say amongst ourselves, he wants to want to stop. Everybody identify with that? That stage? Oh, man. It's like, I really did. Like, even when I came in, I was 24, I wanted to be done for good and all. Like, I saw my family, my mom, my uncles, my grandmother, my grandfather. I saw what booze, I saw what alcoholism or whatever that alcohol does to people. Like, I don't want to go down that path. Like, it was a major sacrifice for me to walk into the fellowship. Like, I went to a lot of meetings. Like, I at the time, it seemed like a lot. And it took a lot for me to get to that point. I really wanted to stop for good, not for 7.5 years, burn my life to the ground and hurt everybody I love. Like, that was not my intention. I'm going to get things great and then I'm going to crap on it. No, like, that wasn't my plan. But at the time, it was the best I could do. It was the best I could do. Self-reliance still existed in my life. Like, I hadn't hit bottom. I was dealing with a lot of material world trouble, but I hadn't really hit bottom, not to my core. I thought I could do this thing and pick and choose, and I'll take the ninth step if she's cute, and I'll fourth step, yeah, I'll do it, but I ain't going to tell you it, or I ain't even going to do it because you might find it, and then I'll get in trouble. You know, like, I do it my way, right? Three, this husband has gone much further than number two, right? Though once like number two, he's become worse. His friends, they're gone. They slipped away. His home, near wreck. He can't hold a position. Doctors are called in, and the weary round of detoxes and rehabs have begun, right? He admits he can't drink like other people, but he don't see why. Like, so he's getting there, right? He's getting there. He's seeing, like, I'm a wreck, man, like... But maybe there's just a little bit of hope left that maybe somehow, some way I can figure this thing out, you know, on my own without you and that God and all that other stuff, right? He clings to the notion that he will yet find a way to do so, right? He may have come to the point where he desperately wants to stop but cannot. Like, that's a big piece right there. That's a big piece of the puzzle. His case presents additional questions we shall try to answer for you. You can be quite hopeful of a situation like this. Why is that? Why is that the further down the scale you go in these progressions, like the more hope comes out, right? Like, they didn't say you can be hopeful about number one or two. Why? Because you can't teach me nothing at that stage. I know it all already. Yeah, maybe you sickos have to do this stuff. But I don't. I'm different. And I don't know if I'm worse or better. I know I'm different and I'm going to be able to do it. But by the time I get to this stage of alcoholism, I'm beginning to see I ain't so different. Like, it's getting bad. I really mean to go and do this, or I really mean to get to my wedding sober, and I don't. I end up drunk. And I ruin everything. And it happens over and over and over again. And I move into this state of hopelessness. And that's good for an arrogant, closed-minded, defiant alcoholic like me. Right? I need that. I need that bottom. That's what we're talking about. 4. You may have a husband of whom you completely despair. Like, this guy's a wreck, right? This is where, when I went back out in 5 short years, this is where I got to. I mean, I was a mess. Burned everything. Lost everything. I knew for sure that I was not going to make it out of this alive, and I didn't want to. You know, like, that's just where I was. I just got lucky enough to get back. You may have a husband or the sponsor that you completely despair, right? He's been placed in one institution after another. He's violent or appears definitely insane when drunk, right? Like, I got arrested on a Friday for my 4th DUI, right? I got out. I told the guys what happened. I was in my bucket truck. I wasn't driving. I told you guys about it last week, maybe a little bit. And they told me how to avoid that from happening. They said, put the bucket in the air and drink in the truck. And I said, okay. And that was the next day. That was Saturday. I forgot the truck had the bucket in the air, and I started driving, and I hit a whole bunch of power lines and tipped over the truck. And that was my 5th DUI next day. And go to the Lane County, Oregon Sheriff's Department. They didn't lock me up. They booked me, and then they released me, and they said, where do you want to go? To liquor store. Like, that's where I said. I said, take me to where you dropped me off, because that's where it was, the liquor store. And she didn't understand why, but I did. I knew. Right? Like, what's the option? At that point, for me, what's the option? I was 7.5 years in AA. I never did any work, but I thought I had the AA experience. So I ain't going back to AA. Right? Drinking ain't, booze ain't working for me no more, but sober's even worse. You know, like, that's where I was at. Perhaps he has had DTs. The doctors may shake their heads and advise you to have him committed. Maybe you've already been obliged, and my wife and my mom, that's what they were planning for me. I found out that 2 loved ones can have you committed against your will. Cool things you learn being an alcoholic, right? It's good stuff. It's food for thought for those Al-Anons in the room. All right. But look what it says here. Like, towards the end, it says, this picture may not be as dark as it looks. Why? Because now we got something to work with, right? I got a guy like this. He's willing to do damn near anything, just like I was when I came back, right? Many of our husbands were just as far gone, yet they got well. Okay, so now what they're going to talk about is how to approach each individual, right? So let's go back to husband number 1. Oddly enough, he is often difficult to deal with, right? Because he ain't got a problem, really, you know? He enjoys drinking still, right? It's still doing the job. It stirs his imaginations. His friends feel closer over an 8-ball. Oh, no, it says a high ball. Just checking for you addicts in here, right? That woke a lot of you up, huh? That was good. Right. Perhaps, and then this is going to go in. Now, some stuff that's not relative, right? Like, you know, they're talking to the wife a lot. Perhaps you enjoy drinking with him when he doesn't go too far. You may have passed many an evening together, chatting and drinking before a fire. Perhaps you both like to go to parties. Right, would be dull without liquor. We have enjoyed. Then let's go. So anyway, we know all about alcohol as a social lubricant. Some, but not all of us, think that it has its advantages if reasonably used. Right? I think it has its advantages even when it's unreasonably used. It got me here. I was able to recover from alcoholism. I'm freer and happier and more peaceful than I've ever been in my life. If it wasn't for booze, man, none of that would have been possible. I would have been walking around with the rest of the population pissed off. You know, you don't have to be alcoholic to have a spiritual malady. We talked about that last week too. Drug addicts got them, right? Gamblers got it. Sex addicts got it, right? The list goes on. If reasonably believed. Right. So the first principle of success is that you should never be angry. Right? Right? I used to get so pissed off when guys, like, why don't you listen to me? Right? We're supposed to be at my house at 6 o'clock and we're supposed to do this stuff and you don't show up. What's wrong with you? You know? You're going to die. I'm going to be fine. You dope. Right? That's not what the directions are telling me to do. It's not what the directions are telling me to do. What's that attitude? That attitude, I have to watch that. Like, what am I doing? What am I really saying? You know, where's the love and tolerance? Like, where's the understanding? Okay. Even though your sponsee becomes unbearable, like Adam over there, right? And you have to leave them temporarily, you should. If you can go without rancor, patience and good tolerance are most necessary, right? It's like, I love you, buddy, right? And I get it. Like, there was a period in my life that I was unwilling to take these actions too, right? And when you're ready, I'm here for you, you know? But, you know, again, and it's going to go on to tell us, I've read this a couple times before, that maybe they don't need to do this stuff, right? Maybe husband number one is going to straighten out himself. Maybe he's not alcoholic, right? You might not have to do what I do to stay sober. I don't know if you're even like me. We haven't done enough work to find out, you know? I'm not satisfied you're alcoholic just because you walk into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and claim to be. Like, I could walk into a Giraffes Anonymous meeting and claim to be, don't make me a giraffe. Like, it don't. It just don't. Our next thought is that you should never tell him what he must do about his drinking, right? If he gets the idea that you are a nag or a killjoy, your chance of accomplishing anything useful may be zero. And I know for sure I have turned people off from AA. Like, in the beginning, like, I'm telling you, I had a spiritual awakening, and it was profound, but I was running around without the traditions, and I was running around sick, right? And I was not following directions, and I caused a lot of harm, right? I helped a lot of people, too, but I caused a lot of harm, right? Because I wasn't doing this deal. He will use the excuse to drink more. I ain't going back to AA, you know? They're all zealots, you know? It's my way or the highway. I'm not going back to that, especially if I don't think I have to, right? He will tell you he is misunderstood. It may lead to lonely nights for, well, not me, but for you, right? He may seek someone else to console him, not always another sponsor, maybe a dealer, right? I don't know. Anyway, be determined that your husband's drinking or a newcomer's drinking will not spoil your relations with you or your family, your other sponsors, the fellowship of AA, right? If I can get one thing home with all of you or even with half of you, my whole experience from beginning till current, everything I did and didn't do from the moment I walked into AA, man, and all the half-stepping and half-measuring I did, it all brought me to a place where inevitably I was going to get drunk, burn my life to the ground, and destroy that self-reliance, and then get to a place where I could be free, right? So if I didn't do any of it, if I didn't do maybe just one thing, or did do one thing, maybe I wouldn't be able to be here. Like, I don't know. We live in a what is, right? Not the what ifs, but it's easily as possible. So who am I to tell you what you need to do, right? What gets you here, gets you here. You know, my sponsor told me, he said, Joe, he said, don't deprive anybody of their own misery, you know? And the truth is, I'm really glad nobody deprived me of mine. It was the pain that got me. It's all the pain. Every ounce of it. Let's see, where are we? Let's try to run through this, because we're spending a little bit of time on this. Hold on one second. Let me see where we are. We know these suggestions are sometimes difficult to follow, right? Bottom paragraph of 111. But you will save many a heartbreak if you succeed in observing them. Your new guy may come to appreciate your reasonableness and patience. This may lay the groundwork for a friendly talk about his alcoholic problem. Could be a year from now, could be 5 years from now, could be 5 weeks or 5 days from now, right? When the discussion does arise, you might read this book with them, or at least the chapter on alcoholism. Like, we want to give them a good sense. We want to plant that seed. We want to explain to them what it's all about, control and choice, right? We want to plant that seed in them and then have them go out, whether he goes out or stays in, right? At least it'll be in his consciousness. He'll be aware, right? Okay, alcoholism is not being homeless on the street, being a bum, scratching your hair, begging for change with a brown paper bag and a trench coat on. That's not alcoholism, so I don't have to get there. But what I do have to know is, do I have this physical deal that this doctor's talking about? And more importantly, do I have, do I have this mental obsession? Do I make a decision to stop, really mean it, for good and all, and then go back? You know, like, it's happened to all of us in this room 100 times. Well, happened to me 100 times. People I know it's happened to, for sure. Okay, so let's move on. Hold on. Where is number 2? Let's see. Okay, so that's number 3. Let's go here. Alright, then I'll just keep reading until I find it. Show him. Okay, yeah, let's go a little further. So you think he ought to know about the subject better. That's what you want to do. As everyone should have a clear understanding of the risk he takes when he drinks too much. Show him you have confidence in his power to stop or moderate. How many of us do that? Right. It's all about following directions here, right? I didn't see that for a long time. I didn't. Right? Say you do not want to be a wet blanket, right? That you only want him to take care of his health, and thus you succeed in interesting him in alcoholism, right? You got to understand, go back to before you guys came in and think about all the people that you put in one pocket, right? The boss who wants you to stop. The wife or the husband who's screaming and yelling at you, your friends that are coming to you, family members, like, you all put them, we put them in one place, right? And it's a place that we, as Alcoholics Anonymous, we don't want to get put in that place in that person's mind. We want to be somewhere else over here, right? More on a neutral ground, right? That's what it's telling us to do. He probably has several alcohol. Okay, so that's another thing. So we're not going to go there. Okay. If this kind of approach does not catch his interest, just drop it, sit back, wait. This may be patient waiting, but it may be worth it. Meanwhile, you might try to help. Okay, so here we go. So suppose your husband fits the number 2 description, the description of number 2. The same principles which apply to husband number 1, so we go back and look at that, right? Should be practiced. But, here we go, after the next binge, or when he calls you, or he comes back into the rooms, right, ask him if he would really like to get over drinking for good. Not for one day at a time, for good. You want to be done, for good and all? Just ask him if he would like to. Not if he will, or if he won't. If he's alcoholic, he can't, right? So, would you like to? Would you really like to? Yes? Cool. okay, so where are we? Okay. Do not ask that he do it for you or anyone else, just would he like to, right? The chances are he would. Show him your copy of this book and tell him what you have found about alcoholism. Show him that as alcoholics, the writers of this book understand, or you understand, right? So now we're no longer the wife here. If we're the guy from AA or the girl from AA, we understand, right? Tell him of some interesting stories you've had, right? If you think he will be shy of the spiritual remedy, don't spark that at first, right? Like, I don't know about any of you, but when I came into here, like, God was a four-letter word to me. It was. It was like that guy who may or may not have been watching me and seen everything I did. Even in the shower, right? It's like, I don't want him, right? Like, that's who, how I seen it, right? The chances are he would. Show him a copy of this book. Tell him what you have found, right? Show him that as alcoholics, the writers of the book, and you understand. Tell him some of the interesting stories you've had. If you think he is shy on a spiritual malady, a spiritual remedy, ask him to look at the chapter on alcoholism. Perhaps he's interested enough to continue if he's enthusiastic, right? Not if he's enthusiastic, like, I'm not going to get sober for you. I'm not supposed to want your sobriety more than you do, right? It's not how this works, right? I've done that and don't work, right? Works for a while. You might get high off my enthusiasm for a while, but eventually you're going to get a girl or get a car or get a this and you're gone, right? So that don't work, right? If he's enthusiastic, your cooperation will mean a great deal. If he's lukewarm or he thinks he's not an alcoholic, we suggest you leave him alone. Bye-bye, right? Like, you might not be, buddy, you know? You might be okay, like, don't drink and play checkers. That might be your thing. Like, you might be able to stay sober on that, right? I stayed sober on pool for a long time. I did. He knows thousands of men, much like himself, have recovered. That's, you know, that's just what he needs. That's the seed we want to plant. But don't remind him of this after he's been drinking, for he's liable to be angry, right? I told you so, right? Sooner or later, you're likely to find him reading this book. Wait until his repeated stumblings convince him that he must act, right? I'm not to convince you. Your experience needs to convince you, right? That's the only way you're going to do this for you. Otherwise, you're doing it for me. How long are you going to do that for? I didn't understand that saying, like, you have to do this for you. Like, there was a lot of things I didn't understand. Like, I needed them to be spelled out for me. And my sponsor, he explained it to me. He said, well, Joe, this is the real world, right? And in the real world, kids die. It's just a fact. They do. So you can't do this for your kids, because if your kids die, you'll stop doing it. Right? Can't do the wives, husbands, they divorce you, or they go out and date somebody else, right? Like, that might not be permanent, right? So if that happens, you can't do it for them, because once they're gone, you have no more reason to do it. You have to do this for you, because if you do it for you, the only way you'll stop doing it is if you die. And if you die, you don't have to do it anymore, right? Simple, right? It's truth.
Makes sense.
Right? Okay, so let's go. So that's husband number two. So if you have a number three, right? Right, he's in bad shape. He was once like number two, but now he's gone much further, right? You may be in luck. Right? Being certain he wants to stop, right? So that's what it's telling. Let's be certain he wants to stop. You can go to him with this volume as joyfully as though you had struck oil. Buddy, I got a solution. He's going to say, to what? Well, let me tell you about the problem, right? Like, right? When my sponsor explained alcoholism, I was 7 years in AA. I did not understand alcoholism. I thought it was only the physical allergy. So I'm only powerless over it when I drink. I didn't understand this mental deal. And my experience kind of added to the problem, because I made a decision to stop on my own will, on my own volition, and I stayed stopped for 7 years. It's kind of like, until I picked up a drink, I couldn't confirm to myself that I was really alcoholic. But once I did, I knew. And then he asked me to tell, you know, what did that look like in your life? When did you make a decision to stop, given sufficient reason, really meant it, to be done for good and all, and then gone back to drinking? When did that happen? Like, he wouldn't, because he knows, right? The doctor's opinion, it's his opinion, right? It's a doctor's opinion. Your story, it's your story. I'll forget it. I've heard some great speakers, incredible speakers across the world, right? When I heard their experience and I heard their story, like, I was like, wow. And then 2-3 months later, I forgot. I can't forget my own story. That's the only story that matters. I can't forget my own experience. That's why this. I have to make this personal with people, right? I tell you about my mental obsession. I tell you what that looks like, how it manifested itself in my life. Then I have you, as someone I'm working with, tell me about yours. And I can help you, and I can guide you. And I know your mind is a mess, and you got bogged down with emotions. I get it. So I'll go slow with you, and we'll figure it out. But that's what I try. When did the physical allergy take place in your life? Right? Not, oh, yes, 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 yes. I yes people to death. I don't want you to know. I don't know what the hell you're talking about when you're saying it, because I don't want to feel dumb. I'm alcoholic. Like, that's what we do. Right? Especially suffering from untreated alcoholism. Right? Anyway, right? So, here we go. He may not share your enthusiasm, but he is practically sure to read this book and may go for the program at once. Okay, what happens if he don't? If he does not, you will probably not have to wait long, right? If we're following these directions, right? If we're following some other kind of directions or working some other kind of program, we might have to wait forever. Like, he might never come back, right? If I show this attitude of, belligerence, right? Or arrogance, or just rude, mean nastiness, he ain't coming back to me, for sure, to me, right? May come back to the fellowship because he might not have anywhere else to go, but he ain't coming back to me for sure, right? If he does not, you will probably not have to wait long again. You should not crowd him. Don't call him, don't bother him, don't bug him, right? Let him decide for himself. Cheerfully see him through more sprees. Glad you're back, man. Right? That's what I say when I see him. Hey, you're back. I'm so glad you didn't die. So many people are dying lately. It's really good to have you. Come in, sit down, let's have a cup of coffee. I'm not going to force anything on you. I'm just glad you're okay, you know? Learned my lesson the hard way with that, too. All this stuff, I learned my lesson the hard way. I made all the mistakes. And anything that this book says, I did the opposite. And I thought it was right. I thought it was 100% right. Talk about his condition or this book only if he raises the question, right? Will you help me? Yes, right? Till you ask, I am pushing the issue, right? In some cases, it may be better to let someone outside the family present the book. Of course it is, right? Because we know where they've been placed, right? They've been placed in that one spot, right? In his head that don't understand, right? We don't go there. We try not to go there. Okay. So here we go. So you would suppose that men in the fourth classification would be quite hopeless, right? These guys, these are like, they've lost everything. Like, they have actually, seemingly, no hope, right? They've tried everything, tried the job, they tried the wife, they tried the girlfriend on the side, they tried the house, they tried AA, they tried NA, DAA, CA, right? They tried it don't have to be that stuff, but they tried of their own will to stop drinking for good and all, and they've always gone back, right? Tremendous hope. They just don't know it. Because now you're going to be able to hear what I have to say on the level and at the depth that it needs to be heard. If you're not there, you ain't there. Like, if they're not there, they ain't there. Mm-hmm. Right? I couldn't get there until I got there. No matter how much I wanted to want to. Just couldn't. I can become better at planting this seed and carrying this message and following these directions, so when they are there and they are ready, then I could be of maximum use to them, right? Rather than minimum use. But I can't get you there. Just can't do that, right? So let's see. Many of Alcoholics Anonymous were like that. Everybody had given up on them. Defeat seemed certain. Yet often such men had spectacular and powerful recoveries. There are exceptions, of course, right? Like, some people just can't get it. Like, we got wet brains, people that are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. We got a bunch of types, right? There have been so impaired by alcohol, they cannot stop, right? Let's face that fact, right? Like alcohol, program of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's the most awesome thing I've ever experienced or even seen, like, but it can't help everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a fact. A good doctor, a psychiatrist, can tell you whether these complications are serious, right? In any event, try to have the guy read the book. His reaction may be one of enthusiasm. If he is already committed to an institution, even better, because he can't go nowhere, right? handcuff him. But can convince you and your doctor that he means business. Give him a chance. Try our method. Unless the doctor thinks his mental condition too abnormal or dangerous. I've only had like two guys like that. You know, like they had another condition that was so severe that they would not have been able to recover from alcoholism until they took care of that condition, right? And one is, one ain't. You know, it's just what it is, right? Where are we here? Okay, give them a chance, try our method, right? Okay, so for years we have been working with alcoholics committed to institutions, right? That's what they used to do with people like us, right? Lock us up, right? Since the book was first published, AA had released thousands of alcoholics from asylums and hospitals of every kind. The majority have never returned. The power of God goes deep. Where am I at? Oh my God. Should have told me. I'm going to stop. I hope you guys have some experience on that. Thank you for letting me talk. Thank you.